From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm the man who will stuff your Thanksgiving turkey, Bill Curtis. And here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. So much fun to see you all. Today we are going to be talking to Harvard physicist Lisa Randall. She was named as one of the 100 most influential people today by Time magazine. Now, one of the things she has written about is the theory of multiple universes, infinite alternate versions of reality. In one of them, her publicist booked her on a cool show. But we know you're stuck here on this plane of existence with us, so why not give us a call? The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, my name's Hannah Perry. I'm calling from Raleigh, North Carolina.
From Raleigh. I love Raleigh. How are things in Raleigh?
It's a little weird here. It's kind of muggy. It rained, and it went from really cold out of nowhere to just kind of bleh.
You know, complain. That's all you ever do, Hannah. Well, welcome to the show, Hannah. Let me introduce you to our fabulous panel this week. First up, it's a comedian who will be at the Arlington Draft House in Arlington, Virginia, on November 27th and the 28th. It's Alonzo Bowden.
Hello.
Hey.
Next, it's a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning and the host of Science Goes to the Movies, premiering on PBS in January, Faith Saley.
Hi, Hannah.
Hey.
And finally, it's a humorist and the author of a book of his selected work from across the decades called Thrown Under the Omnibus. It is P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, Hannah.
Hey,
how you doing?
PJ.
Hannah, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off with Who's Bill? This time, Bill Curtis will recreate for you in his basso profundo voice three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you will win our prize, the voice of scorekeeper emeritus Carl Castle, on your voicemail. You ready to play?
Yes.
Oh, okay then. Let's do it.
I'm so excited.
Your first quote comes from Senator and presidential candidate Ted Cruz.
Mr. President, come back and insult me to my face.
That was a sample of the reasoned debate we heard this week about whether or not the U.S. should accept any more refugees from where?
Syria.
That is right, Syria, yes. You got it right. After the attacks in Paris last week, people there, Christian and Muslim alike, came together to celebrate fraternité, égalité, liberté. In an act of charity and mercy, you too even canceled their Paris concert. Haven't those people suffered enough? But here in the U.S., we looked at that unity and we said, not on our watch. Republican governors across the country rose up to say they'd accept no more Syrian refugees in their states. Many people are saying that states like Alabama don't need to use the law to keep Syrian refugees out. They just have to keep on being Alabama.
The first thing is, do these governors understand they don't have a border around their state? Like, once you enter the country, you can travel freely to any state,
yeah,
just like a gun.
Yeah, pretty much. what I like to imagine is, you know, if for example, taking a very popular state crossing, like you're traveling up I-95, you go from Philadelphia into New Jersey, and the New Jersey Border Guard, because Chris Christie doesn't want to land in either, the New Jersey Border Guard, halt! You may not enter New Jersey. And millions of people go, okay.
Well, I think Christie tried that with the George Washington Bridge.
And yeah, that's true.
Didn't work out too well.
He was just trying to keep New Yorkers out, and like anybody can understand that.
Now, the quote we heard Bill say, the full line from Ted Cruz was this. If you want to insult me, you can do it overseas, you can do it in Turkey, you can do it in foreign countries, but I would encourage you, Mr. President, come back and insult me to my face. It's not really a threat. He's just describing four things it would be really fun to do. And remember, this is the guy that read Green Eggs and Ham in the Senate floor when he's filibustering, so he's just ripping it off. You can insult me overseas. You can insult me in Turkeys. You can insult me in a box. You can insult me with a fox. Here is your next quote.
As a fat person, I have to smile and nod.
That was one reporter's reaction to new research findings that being overweight is actually what?
Naturally, I say it cannot possibly be healthy.
It is.
Oh, my God.
Why should I make you work for it? Yes, you said the word. It's healthy. Good news, tubbies. Turns out those weren't donuts you gobbled up this AM. They were health circles. This is amazing. Scientists have determined the data is clear that patients with some chronic conditions, many in fact, fare better, live longer if they're overweight. They do better with heart disease, pneumonia, cancer, and if they're handed a large bunch of balloons, they are far less likely to float away.
What?
Nobody knows how this could be true because all the things that people do to get fat, you know, lack of exercise, too much fatty foods, too much sugar, all that is still bad for you. But actually being fat is good for you. This phenomenon is called the obesity paradox, which is also what happens when you go back in time and eat your own father. But this is amazing because, I mean, and for a long time, the researchers refused to believe this because they've been telling us for years, lose weight. If you're overweight, it makes you ill. It'll shorten your life. No, it doesn't.
Well, Peter, I guess a bunch of people in Alabama you just made fun of are saying, who's laughing now?
Yeah, toothpick butt.
Yeah. Given this news, though, it is ironic that Fat Elvis is the one who died. All right. Here is your last quote.
It's as if the Democratic National Committee doesn't want anyone to watch.
That was 538's Harry Enten talking about what not very big event that happened last Saturday night.
The Democratic debate?
Yes, the Democratic debate last Saturday night. Why would the Democrats have a debate on Saturday night so no one will watch it? Consider the Republican debates have been on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights, bringing in record audiences, but the Democrats are having their debates on Friday and Saturday nights. Nobody pays attention to things on weekends. That's where you dump things like golf and prison documentaries and public radio news quizzes. The Democrats have had Friday debates, Saturday debates. They even have one at 4 p.m. on a Klubs day, which doesn't even exist. Did you guys stay up and watch it?
You know, half the viewing audience was under the impression that this was a Saturday Night Live routine that had gone really lame.
I got to tell you, given Saturday Night Live these days, it took a while to figure that out.
Yeah, sure. There's no doubt about it. No.
So the theory here, and I don't know if you guys are going to buy this, is that the Democrats know their candidate will be Hillary, so why let anybody watch the debate? It'll just run her down.
But isn't that the thing that even if they put it, say, prime time on a Tuesday, no one's going to watch because it's pretty much a done deal.
So if they do it on Saturday night, then at least they have an excuse.
Well, no. That
Everybody
way,
was
Saturday
out.
Saturday night, the networks are thinking, look, we don't want to cancel something good.
Yeah, we can do a rerun of Law & Order, bring in an audience. Why would we put on the Democrats?
Right. I think it's part of that whole left-wing media agreement that they have going.
Which is what, exactly?
To help the Democrats. That's the trade-off. Like, we'll help
you out. I love that.
We'll help you out, but you don't mess with our primetime ad money.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I love this, the idea that the liberal media is conspiring to help the Democrats by hiding them from everyone.
You can't buy the Clintons, though. You can't buy the Clintons. You can only rent them.
Yeah. Bill, how did Hannah do on our quiz?
Hannah needed 2 out of 3, and she got 2 out of 3.
All right, well done. Okay.
Congratulations, Hannah.
Thank you.
Saturday night is the loneliest night in the week, 'cause that's the night that my sweetie and I used to dance cheek to cheek.